in reference to last week, when we discussed the principle of Kavosh Kemahushal, he said that normally the basic principle in Yeridei is that Tam cannot spread unless there's some source of heat. Nevertheless, the Gemara says in Chulin there's an exception to this rule, but if the items are soaked together, they reach the stage of Kavosh, so Kavosh is Kemahushal, as if they were cooked together. We pointed out that there was a machlekes haposkim about just how far this principle of kavosh kemavushal goes. So the Gemara drew a distinction between kavosh kemavushal vis-a-vis bas b'cholov in contrast to kavosh kemavushal vis-a-vis shari surim. So the Ramah quoted the Shonim Medayik from the Gemara that kavosh kemavushal is a din min haTorah. It does create an issue of nesinas tam min haTorah, but it doesn't create a problem of bas b'cholov min haTorah. That's what the Ramah paskins, that if you have a safek kavosh and other isurim, let's say, have a piece of chaz that was sitting in a cold liquid for a while, I'm not quite sure whether it was kavosh yet, so then we have to be machmir kavosh kavushal the mitzvah tam in a Torah. Whereas if it's a bas b'cholov, so then we have a right to say if it's a safek, then safek is only a safek derban on the kula. So we had a big question in the poskim last week as to what exactly do the words mean that kavosh is kavushal. Does that mean that it's literally like bishul? Whenever you do a ma'isa kavosh, as if you did a ma'isa bishul, or do we say kavosh kavushal just means that just as bishul has the characteristic of transmitting tam, so too kavosh also has a similar characteristic. But is it called bishul? It's not called bishul. So we said that seemed to be the simple pshat of the Chayyadim and others, that kavosh kavushal is not really bishul. Proof positive that it's not bishul. It doesn't pose a problem in Hilchos Bas B'cholov on a level of Deraisa. So the answer, the distinction is obvious. In other Isurim, all you need is to create Tam. In Bas B'cholov, you need Derech Bishul Asatara. So Kavosh Kavushal is not a Maisa Bishul B'cholov. That's what many Acharim and Medayim from the Rambam, that if you do Kavosh on Shabbos, you're not Chayav. It's not a Malach on Shabbos. If you throw a cucumber into a pickle brine, you turn a cucumber into a pickle, that's not called Nisa Bishul Min HaTorah. Because it's called an Nesinus Tam in a Torah, but there's no Isser and Shabbos to be Nesin Tam. Isser and Shabbos has to do a nice Bishul. But notwithstanding that, at the very end of the Shia, yes, last week we pointed out that the Yeretz and Ibishas disagree. In the safer, creative place in Yeridei, so he was of the opinion that Kavosh Kavushal means it, literally, it's a nice Bishul, and you would be Chayiv on Shabbos for doing an act of Kavosh. So we left off at the end of the Shia, according to the Yeretz and Ibishas, how come it's called a nice Bishul for Shabbos? It's not called a ma'isa bishul for bas b'cholov. The definition of bishul should be one and the same. So the answer to that question is most probably predicated on the machlokes of Rishonim that how to understand the principle of avos and toldos outside the realm of Shabbos. We said at the very end of the shiur last week, we ended on this point, that there's a concept of avos b'lachos. Lamed has major categories, primary categories of malachos, as were performed in the Mishkan. And then each av has a certain amount of toldos, actions which are similar to the Av, but not quite identical. What the point of demarcation between the Av and the Tod is, that's also a question. That's based on the sugya in the beginning of the Sefer Kama, whether it's purely a question of Mishkan, or whether there are other factors involved. But whatever the case may be, there's clearly a concept of an Av Malacha, and there's a concept of a Tolda being similar to an Av, albeit not identical. So there's a Nachlekes of Rishonim, whether that concept applies outside of the Chashavas. Is that a purely Hilchos Shabbos concept, or can we extrapolate from that to other areas of halacha? The Machlokes Rishonim revolves around the Gemara in the seventh parak of Shabbos. We'll jump ahead for the Afyomi people in a week or so. The Gemara of Shabbos asks the question, but not immediately, how do you know there's a concept of toldos in Hilchos Shabbos? And they go, what's the pasuk? Me'alsa, me'achas, me'heina, l'ravas, avas, the whole drush that the Gemara has to include toldos ke'avas. So comes Tosfos and says, why did the Gemara need a pasuk to be married with Tosfos Gavos? Because the starting point is, it's not true. I mean, the Torah speaks about action X. It's like, Mehechis Hasen and action Y, which is close to action X, is also Chayat. If the Torah wanted to ask action Y, it would have said action Y. So from the fact that the Torah says you can't do X, so that means you can't do X. Just because something is similar, is it told, looks like it, sounds like it, smells like that's not it. So therefore, the starting point of all of halacha is that told us are not ke'avos. Tell a lot. There's a special verse close of a ribu Torah called L'rabas told us ke'avos. So Tosfos writes in the Sefer Mechayrus, Tosfos writes that we only have a right to extend the principle of told us ke'avos in that area of halacha where the Torah gives it to us, i.e. in Hilchos Shabbos. But in other areas of halacha, it wouldn't be true. So Tosfos points out this distinction, a practical application. This Tosfos says, there's one of the Lama Test Malachas is Gozes, is to shear wool. And it happens to be a place in the Torah where you're not allowed to shear, nothing to do with Shabbos, Yusuf lo sagos b'chor tzarecho. You're not allowed to shear the wool of the b'chor. Rather than as a kedushas carbon, you're not allowed to shear his wool. So there's an issur of the Torah called goizes on Shabbos. It's why the love of Tesh Malachos. And then there's an issur of goizes in terms of goizes by miskachim. So Taisus shows you, based on their reading of the sugya in Maseches Bechor and Avchavav, that what would that locha be if you have an action that's not quite goizes? It's not literally translated as goizes. If you would look this up in a dictionary, this wouldn't fall under the category of goizes. What is it? You're plucking out feathers from a chicken. I mean, you're plucking out the, you're pulling out the wool rather than shearing the wool. You're doing something which is similar to goizes. It's accomplishing the same idea as goizes, but being done in a different manner, a different maisa. So comes Tosfos and says, what would the din be? Would such an act be considered to be a issur of goizes and Shabbos? Or would such an act be considered to be an issur of goizes of goizes abachor? So Tosfos claims, based on the Gemara Mechoros, that here the two areas of Allah go on different paths. That for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, you would be chayav b'shem goizes. Whereas for Hilchos Bechor purposes, you wouldn't be chayav b'shem goizes. How do you explain that? So Taisa says the answer is very simple. That this act is not goizes proper, it's a toldus goizes. So in Hilchos Shabbos, where we have exeris hakosov, that L'Rab has told us ke'avis, that even though it's not identical to goizes, if it's accomplishing the same idea as goizes, similar purpose as goizes, getting the wool off the animal, so that's considered to be b'chlal, the malach of goizes, albeit not an amalach, but it told us are also diraisa. In the realm of goizes and b'chor, so then the Torah says, most sug is b'chor tzedecha. So you have to ask yourself one question, is this called goizes or not? If it's called a ma'isa goizes, then you chayef. If it's not called a ma'isa goizes, then you potter. It's similar, it's close, it's almost goizes. It doesn't matter. Out of the realm of Shabbos, that question of toldus kavas doesn't become a factor. That's how Taisus sizes up the sugya. So the starting point of all toldus, according to Taisus, is that all toldus are potter, they're proven chayef. Only in the local Shabbos do we have that proof that there is a kavas. So the Shibukubet says, in the beginning of the Sefer Bavakama, quotes one of the Rishon from the Mari Katz, that we don't know much about him, we know he was a Kohen, that's about it. So for the Mari Katz, one of the Rishonim, who says, no, take the exact opposite approach, as it says. Mari Katz says that the starting point of Kol HaTorah Kula is told to Sakavis. You don't need a Pasuk to tell me you told to Sakavis. If it's similar to the Av, it's accomplishing the same thing as the Av, my Nefkamina. You think the Torah really cares? Whether you do geizes by shearing the wool, whether you do geizes by plucking the wool, it's all the same thing. As long as
the
Torah
said geizes
specifically. Well, in other areas it does say lo sagos b'chor tzedecha. So b'chor. Oh, so it was done. So it says by b'chor lo sagos b'chor tzedecha. So this is basically accomplishing the same feat as geizes. That's also considered to be this deraisa of lo sagos b'chor tzedecha. According to the Shulchan Aruch says in the name of Marikatz, there's no difference. The standards of Maisa Avos, the Toldo, are the same for Shabbos and for Kol Torah Kula. If so, asks the Mari Katz, why do you need a Pasuk, the Rabbos, Toldos Ke'avos for Shabbos? If I could have figured it out on my own, if that statement of Toldos Ke'avos is true in Kol Torah Kula, so why do I need a Pasuk for Shabbos? So says the Mari Katz, I need the Pasuk for the following reason. Because I would have suggested that Shabbos is different than Kol Torah Kula in the following sense. Shabbos, everything is Mishkan. Everything is doing the Mishkan. It's got to be exactly like the Mishkan. So I would have thought, notwithstanding the fact that there's a din of Toldos Ke'avos in Kol Torah Kula, that's true in Kol Torah Kula. But in Shabbos, I would have had a Havamina that in Shabbos told us a Matki of us. Because after all, told by definition wasn't in the Mishkan. So it's not meeting the model of Mishkan. So Kamash Malan, there's a close enough that even though it wasn't in the Mishkan, you still chayav in Shabbos because it's close enough to the Av. So according to the Mari Katz, it's the exact opposite of Tosfos. According to Tosfos, told us a never kiyavos, zero. There was no such thing as told us kiyavos, except for that one quirk of halacha called Masechta Shabbos, where there's exerced a cost of told us kiyavos. Whereas according to the Mari Katz, the opposite is true. That told us are always kiyavos. In 612 mitzvahs, it's poshut that told us kiyavos. In Shabbos, I would have had a case, maybe fakir, maybe not. Kamash belong the poshut, that even in Shabbos told us kiyavos. So when all the dust settles, you have Machlokes, having shown him about what is the status of a Toldah outside of Shabbos. Do we take Tosfos's approach that Toldahs outside of Shabbos don't exist? Or do we take the Shukavetz's, Mari Katz's approach that Toldahs outside of Shabbos very much do exist? What in the world is doing in Baba Kama? The base, with Shabbos? So the Mishnah in Baba Kama starts out with Arba Avos Nezikin. There are four Avos, there are four main categories in Nezikin. Shor, Bor, Ma'am, Hefer. Then the Gemara, the first line of the Gemara Baruch Hamid says Avos Mechabika told us, the lashon of Avos that Chazal used for Nezikin indicates that there must be toldos as well. So then the Gemara goes on to explain what the toldos of each Av are. So say an animal that gores, that's the Av, because that's what it says in the Chumash. What if an animal kicks? The Gemara says that's called the Tolda. Well, the Gemara says that if an animal tramples on something with its feet, that's called an Av. What if the animal knocks over something else? That knocks it. Again, so the Gemara goes through all the details. What's considered to be a Tolda, what's not considered to be a Tolda. So the Shibuk Betta says, why are you Chayvan Toldas for? Where's it say in Chumash you Chayvan Toldas? So Shibuk Betta says, I see from here that Toldas are the Avos and Kolot Tarkula. Again, so Taisha has to deal with that question. Again, we're not learning Baba Kama right now. To get back to our story. So it comes out that according to the place in the Choros, there is a fundamental difference between Shabbos versus other areas of Halacha in terms of defining the principle of Toldos. So that may be the answer to Yosef Naibishit. So Yosef Naibishit said that if a person does kovesh, he takes a cucumber, throws it into pickle juice, and it comes out an hour later with a pickle, he's chayav on Shabbos. Because kovesh is kimavushal. You did an act of bishul. Aye, we have to kash on him, but in Basa B'cholot, the Gemara is beferish, that kovesh is not kimavushal min haTorah. If you take a piece of meat, soak it in milk for 20 years, min haTorah, you wash it off and you're allowed to eat it. There's no derech bishul, nothing. Min haTorah, you never have to wash it off. Min haTorah, you can eat it together. It's not derech bishul. So why? What happened? If kovesh is kimavushal min haTorah, why isn't that a problem? So bishlam, according to the Chayyadim and the people of God and those who say last week that kovesh is never kimavushal. Kovesh gives blias. Kovesh emits tam, but it's not called a ma'aseh bishul. So it's not a ma'aseh bishul neither in Shabbos nor in Bas B'cholof. But according to the Yosef Naibishitz, who says that kovesh is kimavushal in Hilcha Shabbos, if you have skila for it, so why isn't it kimavushal in Bas B'cholof? So the answer is the standards of bishul in Bas B'cholof and Shabbos are not the same. Why not? It's Los Avashel. Well, why are they not the same? So the answer is very simple. That in Hilchos Shabbos, so there's an Av Malacha of Bishul, but there's also a Tolda of Bishul. So Kavush is not an Av of Bishul. Kavush wasn't done in the Mishkan, but Kavush accomplishes the same thing as Bishul, and therefore it's called a Bishul. It's not called an Av of Bishul, it's called a Tolda of Bishul. So that's an important piece of information, the Tolda supply or not. So in Hilchos Shabbos, the answer is absolutely yes. And in Hilchos Bas B'cholof, the answer is absolutely not. Because the stomach, the stomach going along the lines of reasoning of Tosfos, that Toldos were never Nischatshu, there was never a Chiddush of Toldos outside the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. So we have an important distinction between Shabbos versus Bas B'cholof, which is all emanating from the sheet of Rebbeinu Yosef Naibishitz, that Kovesh is Kimavushal Mamish, albeit at least in Hilchos Shabbos, based on the rules of Toldos Kavus.
All at a directional level. We're never saying that it's going down to the Rabbah. Kovesh Kimavushal.
Well, according to Rebbeinu Yosef, Kovesh Kimavushal is Mamish at the Araisa. If it creates a din of Bishul, the Torah told us, and you can't excuse it for it, but it's not Bas B'cholof at the Araisa.
If you say it's not, then maybe it still would be in the Rabbah.
And sure, yeah, the mice, you're not allowed to take your cucumber and put it in the pickle juice and shabbos. The Rambam says that's a fairish. You're not allowed to do that. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. The question is that it's in their eyes, it's in their abundance.
But what's the limitations of kavush? Like, I mean, are you allowed to put something more like...
Okay, so we have to find out what
kavush is soaking in water.
Okay, so now we have to lead us into our next topic. What exactly is kavush? So we spent the last year and a half in very, very esoteric, theoretical plane. Is kavush kibushal deraisa? Is kavush kibushal derabbanon? Is kavush kibushal a ma'aseh bishul? Is it an av? Is it a tolda? I mean, theoretical because it has practical nefesh also. But now we have to get down to the nitty gritty. What is kavush? Deraisa, derabbanon, bishul, bliya, whatever. What means? How do you know when a kavush should place in front of your very eyes or not? How kavush is kavush? How long does something have to soak in order to be considered to be kavush? So come the Rishonim and have machlokes. So comes the Mordechai and says that Atayel on Kavush is.
Oh, wait, on Bishul, is that Torah Moshe Mishinai? The Shirim of Bishul itself? How much it
is? Those are Lachamash Pashas. Those are included in what the Gemara says that Shirim HaLacham Moshe Mishinai. Kedayis, Kebetza, Dal Ramas, Dal Tzvachim, all the Shirim HaLacham Moshe Mishinai.
But why would Kavush be incorporated within Shirim?
Okay, maybe it is. I don't know. We have to see what it is first.
No, I'm saying, I mean, not choosing why it would be, but once you say Shirim as a general principle of Torah Moshe Mishinai, then all Shirim would be Torah Moshe Mishinai. You couldn't segregate one Shir from the other Shir.
Okay, it's possible.
You already had a machlokas by Kavush with 24 hours.
Well, that's what we're talking about. So the truth is that not all Shirim are the same. There are some Shirim that are pure Moshe Mishinai that the shir doesn't correspond to anything. There's no physical reality going on. It's just kach lemer halacha. Talarambas, three tefachim, you know, one tefach, dalos, whatever the shir is. Then there are other shirim which are a result of some physical reality in the world. So that means the halacha is nikva, that you have to have a certain physical reality has to be met, and then the chacham has to determine how much does it take to get that physical reality. The Gemara says that the shear of a nikva is 40 saw. So the Gemara says, how did Chazal figure out the shear of a nikva is 40 saw? So the Gemara says that the pasuk says barachas kol basar b'mayim. You have to be able to wash your entire body in the water of the mikvah. So the Gemara says that shear chachamim, how much does that take? So the Gemara says an average sized person is an amah by three amahs. It takes an average sized person 40 saw in order to be cover his entire body. So the Chacham Wasserman points out that the lashon of the Gemara is not the same as the shear of kizayis. The shear of kizayis, the Gemara doesn't say that. Well, the Chachamim work with some reality and figure out how much a kizayis is. No, kizayis is kach nevar loch moshim sidei, or dalid tvachim for the shear of rishus ayochin, or mechitz has to be 10 tvachim. So those shiurim, they don't correspond to anything in this world. They were kach nevar loch moshim sidei. That's it. No kashas yet. Whereas over here, when it comes to the shear of nikva, it could be that the shear that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the magic number 40 saw. The shear was given, you have to have enough water to cover up a person. So go experiment, go figure out how much water is that.
But not, I mean, there's a mess. Because on a Sefik Doraisa, or Nida, or whatever, or any Tzivu, or anything, if it's Pachol Avin Saw.
Okay.
Theoretically, the nafaminas are
okay. Very good. Excellent. So the truth is that the way most poskim assume is that even though the number 40 saw may not have been part of the halacha marsina, the halacha marsina was you need mayim shikol kufo to all of them. But once we figure out how much that is, so then once the person has less than 40 saw, so then the tefillah is no good even on the level of their isa. There's one day in Acharonim who says not that one. Some small point in Acharonim argue that the din deraisa is you require mayim shikol gufo olam, and that's determined each person on their own. But let's say you have a very short person, so according to one day in Acharonim, you have a short person who's totaling a mikvah of 39 saw, that would be good. Because Minatara, that would be good. Nidra Abanim, you need 47, maybe Minatara, that would be good.
You have a very big person for
147. Then everyone agrees you would need more, because Almighty, you can't be Torah. And for sure we need more Minatara. So again, that's the minority view. The Pashup Shad is that even though the nature of the halacha was that you require a Mayim Shikol Gufo Olam, but once Chacham HaKedeya, that's called 40 saw, that becomes a Shia Deraisa. There is a Gemara in Maseches HaShoshana. The Gemara is a very, very strange discussion. The Gemara has one of them, Aroyim, I think it was a year ago, I'm saying, Esra Bizera. So he said to him, he said, how can it be that you have to be toivel in a mikvah 40 saw, and what if it's 40 saw minus kurtov, it's minus half an ounce? So you're going to tell me...
It was very big?
No. So Rabbi asked Rabbi Zeira, he said to him, how can it be that if you have a mikvah that's 40 saw, it's kosher, and if you have a mikvah 40 saw minus a half an ounce, that it's possible? How can it be? That was Rabbi Yirmiyah's question to Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira answered him, don't trade me a crop. He said, kol shirich hachom kachol. That's the way the din works. Don't ask many caches. So somebody at Chavarim asked, so what kind of give and take is that? What a strange question is that. Did Rabbi Yirmiyah sit down at the Seder and ask Rabbi Zeira also, how come if you eat less than a kazayish, you're not yotze? Did Rabbi Yirmiyah sit down and say, how come if the mechitza is a little bit less than 10 tefachim, it's no good? What kind of silly question is that? Since when do we ask questions like that? If that's the Baruch Shalom said, so that's it, finished. So what do you mean, mitzvachot akort of how can that be good? So Rabbi Chana, if I'm not mistaken, explained that this question of Rabbi Yirmiyah doesn't make sense by regular shiurim. When there's a shiur of Halacha Moshiach, it's a kezayis. Don't ask any kashas. So Tata, Rabbi Yirmiyah is not going to ask any kashas. That's the way it is. Kezayim will funnel. Rabbi Yirmiyah was only picking on the shiur of mikvos, because the shiur of mikvos was a different kind of a shiur. By shiur of mikvos, so the din d'araisa was formulated by telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you need mayim shikol gufo olam. You have to go figure out how much is mayim shikol gufo olam. So kach shiur, that's the lashon of the Gemara. Kach shiur ruchachamim. That's what the Gemara says. Kach shiur ruchachamim abon saw. So kach shiur ruchachamim, according to most poskim, doesn't mean it's a shiur d'rabon. It's a shiur d'araisa. But the shiur d'araisa is something that the chachamim figured out as the physical correspondence to that din d'araisa of mayim shikol gufo olam. So that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah was chuppering Rabbi Zeir, and he's saying, but you're going to tell me that if it's 40 minus half an ounce, it's not called gufo? Come on, it's just tiny enough. How can it be? answer.
That was their answer. We said, no, it doesn't matter. Even it means kashir chacham. It means once there's a din deraisa, we have to create a shia. The Torah requires of us. We have to come up with some kind of a number. So whatever that number is, that becomes a din deraisa. And even if you're missing a half an ounce, and even if the guy could fit into the smaller mikvah, it doesn't matter. Kashir chachamim. If you had to be abayim, so absolutely. That's what.
So do we have other circumstances where the rabbanim couldn't? Is the Rebbeinu creating a definition or something?
Yeah, so that's,
rather than creating.
So that's what Rabbi Chanan points out, that if you look in that Gemara between Rabbi Yemir and Rabbi Zeira, so the Gemara gives a few other examples. So the Marshal, the Gemara says, there's a din that if you have a kibbutz of Oakland, an egg's worth of Oakland, so it's subject to Tumas Oakland. If it's less than a kibbutz, so then the din of Tumas Oakland are different. They don't apply totally or partially, whatever it is. So there's a sheer. That's the Shia Deraisa of Kibetza. So Rabbi Yomi asked Rabbi Zeir with the same story. And if it's a speck less than a Kibetza, is it going to be different? So Rabbi Chanan says it's the same part. How did Chazal know that it's the Shia of a Kibetza if it's a Muslim? So the Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, that Mikola Ochel Asheye Achel. That any Ochel Asheye Achel, so Asheye Achel teaches us, Ochel Anechel Bavasachas. The amount of food that can be swallowed in one gulp. So the Gemara says that up until Kibetza, you can swallow in one gulp. I would recommend trying it, but up to do a kibbutz, you can swallow it one shot. More than a kibbutz already, it can't be necha b'vasacha. So the Gemara says there was a din deraisa given to Moshe Rabbeinu that the shear for Ochlin, for Tumas Ochlin, is oichla necha b'vasacha. How much is that? So the Chacham had to sit down and experiment. You have to figure out. So you get a few people to swallow, take a couple of tests, and you see, it's a oichla necha b'vasacha equals a kibbutz. So that's the shear deraisa. It's almost the same marshal as b'mikvos. The din deraisa was given not as a number. The din deraisa was given as a concept. The concept was oichla necha b'vasachas. The concept was ma'ev shkoguf olubem. Now the Chacham, Shabbos Ador, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to figure this out right away. How big is the mikvah? How big is the ochel, etc. So the Chacham, Shabbos Ador, have to make the calculation. So that's what Rabbi Yirmiyahu was again shepherding in that shear. That shear maybe is maybe you can tamper with. Maybe it's less than a kibbutz. By a mashu, maybe that's also considered to be a shear that's negotiable. But if the shear of kibbutz would have been like the shear of kizayis hamatz, like the shear of dal tefachim, like the shear of doifin akuma, like the shear of tentuah, if it would have been a shear that would have been an absolute objective shear, doesn't correspond to any physical reality, then there would be nothing that Rabbi Yirmiyahu wouldn't have even raised the question. So, and this was again a little bit off the topic, but back to the story over here. So this shear of kavush, so we're about to embark upon a shaila. What's the shear of kavush kimavushal? So is this shear halacha Moshe Sinai of kavush kimavushal? I don't know. I'm not so sure that it was halacha Moshe Sinai. I think what it may have been is as follows. There's a din deraisa called kavush, again, which kavush either means that it's mamash like bishul, or told the bishul, like we said, or that it creates a beliga. So that's a din deraisa kavush. No question about it. Outside of Bas Bukhala, Ferish Gemara, kavush is a din deraisa. So the question is, how do you know whether something reached the point of kavush or not? So you got to experiment. You got to see. You have to figure out. So if it's reached X amount of hours, whatever that X is, then that physical reality of kavush has taken place. If it hasn't met that physical reality, then the din of kavush hasn't kicked in. It's mashal davidom, the din of nice and calm. There's a din deraisa of Tam Ki'ikah, we spoke about this for the last 3 years. Those in Tam, according to most Rishonim, many Rishonim, is a din deraisa. How do you know whether you have nosin Tam or not? Well, it's very simple. You ask a guy to taste it. If you taste it, then you know you have Tam. If you can't taste it, you don't have Tam. Then the Gemara says that if you can't find a guy, then you're Meshar B'Shishim. So then you figure out, is there Shishim? So you're going to tell me that Shishim is Halacha Moshe Mesinai? I don't know. I'm not sure that the Shia Shishim was Halacha Moshe Mesinai. I think the Shia Shishim, the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that the Shia Shishim is just a way of being Mishayer. Is there Tam or is there no Tam? Haraya. Most of the Rishonim say, let's say you have Shishim. So you have more than 60 times of Heter, and you go ahead and you taste it. And you realize, by golly, it still tastes. It's a very strong food that still tastes. So Gemara, so most Rishonim say, it's also Minatari. You can't eat it. You have Shishim. So what? Shishim is just a shear, but it's a shear that reflects the physical reality of a lack of a tam. If that physical reality isn't met, then you can have a problem. So you have a lot of times in halacha shiurim that are not absolute pure objective halacha Moshe Sinai. You have shiurim that are chazals putting into a quantitative numbers a certain deraisa concept. So that idea of kavush kimavushal, I think, is closer to the second kind of a shear than to the first kind of a shear. So there is a din deraisa of kavush kimavushal. The question is, how long does it have to be? So comes the Mordechai and says, 3 days.
72 hours. That's the shear of kavush. Where do you dig up a shear of 72 hours? Where does it come from? So it comes from a sugya in Masechet Avodah about kasher and kalim. There's a din that under certain limited circumstances you can kasher kalim. It's called the milu v'irin. That you could fill it up with water and then empty it out. Fill it up with water, empty it out. Fill it with water, empty it out. It's very, very limited in context. It doesn't work for things that became trafe through heat. It's very, very. We very rarely do this concept of milu v'irin. There is such a concept. Miloy v'irin. Milu means to fill up with water. Irin means to pour the water out. So it's a very, very limited concept in terms of kashering. So this the Gemara speaks about doing it for 72 hours, doing it 3 times mace. Not somehow fitted to do the job. So the Baruch Hashem says, how does that work? Where's that halachic mechanism of filling up and emptying out, filling up? So that's a reflection of the idea of kibbolik hachpolto. The way something goes in, that's the way something comes out. Oh, that shows that something goes in through soaking. There's no heat, everything is cold. Somehow it went through soaking, but we have to soak it for 72 hours to get it out. So if it takes 72 hours to get the soaking out, then the stomach has an indication that it took 72 hours to get the soaking in as well. That's what the Mordechai Avodah Zarah says. That's the shear of kavush kibushul. So if you take a piece of chazer and you put it into a cup of water and you let it sit there for 71 hours, nothing happens. Wash it off and try. But if you wash it off water, whatever it is. If it's asked for 72 hours, so then you have trouble. Then you have a problem. Then and only then do we say that the belia spread through the principle of kavushul. That's the bishul app, whatever you want to call kavushul. That's the sheet of Mordechai. So hopefully we'll see you next week. That's the das yochid. We don't really pass it like that. Most of the rishonim don't think that gemara is the correct model for kavushul. So we'll see next week how the sheet of 24 hours, the sheet that we're more familiar with, becomes the emissa model of shulchan aruch for the principle of kavushul.